were some of his associates, or was there any sort of league of young composers? One reads a great deal about...
Yes, there was. There was a Komponistenbund. It wasn't only young composers, mm-hmm. it was composers. And they made concerts, you know, in which mm-hmm. they performed the works of the members. And Marx was the president of that.
I see. Thing.
He was also critic for the press. And then Eric was in a league which was called the Young Art, Junge Kunst. Mm-hmm. And it had meetings, I think, every month. The souterrain, the lower level of a coffee house where mm-hmm. they met. And they were all kinds of artists, you know, writers and musicians and singers and... performers and creative artists, painters, they all belonged and had their meetings there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite nice and stimulating, and we had friends there mm-hmm. with whom we communicated.
And there was an opportunity of hearing each other's music at these sessions too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As one reads a great deal about the Schoenberg Circle, but one often... has difficulty discovering
well,
what else was going on.
Well, at that time already, when this happened, Vienna was really dead, mm-hmm. you know? It was very, very dead because of Hitler. Because Hitler had come to power, and that meant that there was a complete shutting out. You know, Germany was closed mm-hmm. for people like Eric, you know, who were not considered completely Aryan. You could not be performed in Germany. And the publishers couldn't publish mm-hmm. you. And so Vienna became, it wasn't the capital anymore. Mm-hmm. But as long as the connection with Germany had existed and the old tradition that Vienna had as the capital of an empire kind mm-hmm. of persisted, and it had all the institutions like the opera and so that went on. And all this had as a hinterland Germany mm-hmm. still. But then this was not anymore, and so it became like a little frog pond, you mm-hmm. know. And it was really quite an unbearable situation for a gifted person, and Eric suffered under this very, very much, and longed to go out. And after we married, we had kind of planned, you know, because with me beside him, he would have dared mm-hmm. to go out and go maybe try London or Paris or something mm-hmm. like this. And then Hitler came, and then... was almost like a liberation
mm-hmm.
to send us out of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, perhaps in line with this train of thought, we can talk a little bit about an observation Eric made about the interaction among composers and musicians as opposed to that among artists.
There was really not much fellowship among the composers. They were mm-hmm. mostly intensely jealous of each other and didn't seek so much each other's company.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time we went into the Wienerwald as we used to, you know, every Sunday making these hikes. And my best girlfriend was a painter. And we met her, and there was a group of painters who were at that time the most known painters going together through mm-hmm. the Wienerwald, as making an excursion. And Eric remarked how wonderful that was and mm-hmm. how he would love to do that with his fellow composers, but it was nothing that was really done. But the reason was also that most of the people that were there were older than Eric, about mm-hmm. 10 years older, you see, and had established themselves there, had some kind of position with the conservatory and so on. And the younger ones who had nothing had gone out. Mm-hmm. So there was like a vacuum there.
Yes. Another fascinating aspect of a young composer's development, of course, is how one goes about getting his music played. How did one go about getting a piece played in Vienna?
Was rather difficult because the big institutions like the Philharmonic or so would wait until you had a beard like Brahms, you know, and before that mm-hmm. they would not acknowledge you. And there was the radio, you know, mm-hmm. and that was very good because the radio also paid you when you were performing.
Mm-hmm.